Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent fourth-generation family practice right here in the greater Phoenix area, to bring you stories you may not be hearing on those other financial radio shows. We're aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here. And we got a guest with us today, but I'll let J.R. do that part of this.
So yeah, today's a good day to be with us. As you know, if you've listened to us for any length of time, actually we've been on for 4.5 years now. So hopefully you've gotten a good dose of the show. But we're not the other guys. We're not an hour-long infomercial. We are a show on current events and how they're likely to affect your future. And today's guest is a repeat guest who's going to tell you that things are important in this world. Right, we'll get to him in a second. Let me do the housekeeping and then jump right in. So a couple quick shout-outs. I want to thank Joe Jaquin again, Jason, Joe, Jack. They had me on their show on Monday. So if you heard us in Colorado or here in Phoenix, you know, we'd love to meet you too. We want to meet his listening audience too. We're going to be on again next Monday, the 24th also. So I guess I did a decent job last Monday because I was invited back. So I believe this is my 11th appearance on Joe's show. So shout out to them. I think we are such a perfect match on our shows. One more thing. There was a meeting on Monday night. There was a meeting on Texitcoin, Iskander, a lot of the up and coming coins out of Texas. And we saw one of our friends slash clients. We saw Carrie. Carrie was there. Shout out to her. She loves Anthony. I'm not sure why, but she loves Anthony. She said, Anthony is really good at his job. I was like, oh, that's good to hear. And I tried to get her to
someone appreciates me. Thank you, yes. Carrie.
So Carrie was complimentary of Anthony. And Thad was there, our buddy Thad. Who would name their child Thad? I still can't get an answer to that. If you named your child Thad, maybe he was named after missiles, the Thad missile. But actually, who would name a missile Thad? Speaking of missiles, I'm sure you heard, if you're awake, Trump is dealing with Young, what's his name? Kim, the North Korean dude. So I called him a dude. So Trump is talking about meeting with him this year today. And I read that yesterday. And then today I heard that North Korea flew a couple missiles up in the air. So the world's an uncertain place right now. And I'm not sure how it plays out. One last shout out. I've got a friend, long-term friend, back in the days that I was in the Oath Keepers. Oh yeah, I'm a domestic. Well, I was a domestic terrorist when I was in the Oath Keepers. I met a group of people, really good guys, veterans, law enforcement. And one of my friends from back then, his name is Terry. I didn't know he was listening to the show, but Terry actually reached out this week and we had a little chat. And Terry was asking about cameras and flock cameras and speed cameras and red light cameras. And we had a good conversation. He's going to come in and sit down with us and we're going to chat further. But Terry, I didn't know you were listening to the show, but I'm so glad you are. So shout out to you. Let's jump right into it because we have a lot to get to. And our guest is Mark Burr. Mark was on, if you remember this name, Mark was on, let's see here, it was on June 26th. And what you're going to hear today, if it piques your interest, we'll be glad to send you that recording. We'll forward it, email, text, whatever you need, messenger, but we'll get that recording in your hand. Mark is extremely, extremely, extremely important. Probably the most important guest we can find on the show. And we've had some good ones. I mean, here locally, we had Seth Liebson, the guy that, talked about the fable, the story, whatever, about the boy that cried wolf, you know, that I am the boy that cried wolf. But at the end of that story, there really is a wolf. So anyway, Mark is here with us today. I'm going to ask Mark to do his quick elevator speech or whatnot and jump right into things. And then if you want a deeper dive, we'll be glad to send you the show he was on before. So Mark, thank you so much for coming back. I guess we didn't do that bad of a job if you accepted coming back to us.
Well, like you say, there's a lot of people in the water fight in Arizona now, and you're one of the few willing to talk about it, actually. It's a very strange scenario. People have, you know, are screaming, you know, Deadpool and Day Zero. And then you're like, okay, that sounds really bad. What are we doing? And then there are all these different solutions that all seem to be like a lot of money and take a lot of time. So what are we going to do in the meantime, right? So if we can go back to the first interview and what was so important that got shared with you by one of your listeners and recommended to speak with me was that in the beginning of the year, the first 2 weeks, then still Representative Andy Biggs, who was running for the nomination of the Republican Party for governor since won, comes out on the Charlie Kirk show in the first week and the Garrett Lewis show the second week. I'll go with his Garrett Lewis quote. Remember now, he has won the nomination from the Republican Party. So it's he or Hobbs, right? So he said, let me say, Garrett, when he asked him, what's your plan for Arizona? First thing out of his mouth is, Garrett, let me start with this. Everything you've been told about water in Arizona is a lie. Again, go to that link, listen to it, right? Google Garrett Lewis, go to, you know, Biggs, and listen, he said that. That's a pretty dramatic statement, wouldn't you say? Who's lying, therefore? He's a representative. He used to be in the House down here. I don't know if he was a senator. I knew he was a delegate, right, in Arizona, and then he made his way to Washington, right? And a great guy, good guy from down there, I think, in Mesa and all that, right? He just said, everything you've been told about water in Arizona is a lie. Does that, where are we? Now, if we had a debate, which once again, Hobbs is unwilling to debate, she wouldn't debate Carrie Lake, will now not debate Biggs because she can't. He should just say, you can debate and you can have your handler stand next to you and just help you with the answer. He really should say, let's do it. They can stand around you and coach you on how to reply. But anyway, she won't. But that would be a question to say she could put to him, like, why is it all a lie? The previous week on the Charlie Kirk show, may he rest in peace. You got the two new guys there, one guy and then Tyler Boyer. And they're talking with him and you're going to run for office and they're talking a few issues and they bring up water, of course, which is one of the top three issues, if not maybe now the top issue, right, in Arizona. Elections, power, water, you know, pretty much.
Can I stop you for 1 second?
Yes, sir.
I want to stop you before Anthony talks all over you. I want to get to it first. Just kidding, Anthony. Carrie loves you. Everywhere I turn, this was the independent. If you're on YouTube watching this, you'll see this. It doesn't make for great radio. The Independent yesterday came out on August 19th. Oh, by the way, today's the 20th of August as we record. And the top right here, Arizona officials are awaiting final word from the federal government on an agreement that would reduce the state's allocation of Colorado River water by 760,000 acre feet for 2 years. This is the biggest issue in our time. Well, maybe one more. We're going to get to the $40 trillion in debt later. This is insane. So we have no water, timing, according to everybody.
Arizona Republic had the same article from their perspective this morning. You know, $750 million. What are we doing? Arizona is supposedly going to invest in California projects, and then we'll get some of their offtake from the river. So anyway, if you read that. You read that article this morning, and there's a really, it got into much longer in detail. You pull your hair out. So Biggs, at that Charlie Kirk show interview, says what? We have 600 to 700 million acres of feet of water under Arizona. And he points, says, and that's in her numbers, as in Hobbs and her Department of Water Resources. That is 300 years of supply of the demand that we have, including industrial growth. Again, you can go to that link and hear it word for word. He said it. A week later, he says everything you've been told about Arizona water is a lie. So wait a minute. If he had said that, guys, about black gold, oil, that we had 600 to 700 million barrels of oil under Arizona, right? You would not be able to stop every Texan and Oklahoma and Louisiana boy from coming out here and stomping all over Arizona and getting all the permits they need and paying off everybody they need to make us rich on Earl. Okay, instead of getting it from California.
Earl.
Okay, but he said water. But a dramatic a statement, 300 years of water on our feet. And everybody's just like, huh, that guy's crazy. But what, or didn't even, I don't know, it just went over their head. Like, that's a dramatic statement. I mean, what do you guys think of, like, when you hear that? Is that shocking or not shocking?
This whole thing's shocking. I mean, either they're right or you're right. And I want to say you're right. I mean, I really tried to say you're not qualified even to be on the show because I don't want to hear it. We had Jeff. We had a city water representative. We can send you that link, too, if you want to hear that. He was on May 15th of 26. You are very well credentialed. You are known globally. We have to explore what you're saying, and nobody's talking about it. They're just saying we're all going to die. And when you talk about oil, Earl, I love that, by the way. When you talk about oil, you're in Texas today, aren't you? You're calling.
I am in Cornudas, Texas, far west Texas.
Why? Did you lose a bet? So speaking of oil.
Damn near.
If we have to stay alive, if we as a people literally have to stay alive, what's more important? The discovery of 300 years of oil or 300 years of water? And why, if these people that are feeding us the fact that we are completely out of water, you know, we've got a loyal listener on the East Valley named Art, and Art called in the last 3 weeks in a row. This week he called in and talked about mismanagement in California, how they had a water treatment plant during a drought. And then when the drought was over, they tore it down like they'll never need it again. He lives on the East Valley. He talks about different cities like Apache Junction and how they mismanage things. If there's no water, how on earth are we still growing and building like there is? You know what my conspiracy theory brain makes me do, Mark? So looking at history, the overlords, families, I want to be really careful so I don't end up missing in a van. We could have used hemp, right, for clothing, for different things. We could have used marijuana, which grows out in the nature. It's delivered to us by God. Instead, we're relying on oxycodone. We've been had over the years. So is this what we're, are we being had with water? Is that what's going on?
You've absolutely been had. And again, I described last time the monopoly system that was built, starting at the Bureau of Reclamation that owns the dams. We dammed the rivers and said, if we're ever going to develop the West and these territories, which are becoming states, we got to dam these rivers because they need that volume of water. I'm not saying we don't need that water, but that was the plan. Monopoly, Bureau of Reclamation. Now you got to move the water. That's midstream, right? Those are called canals for the most part, right? Now those are owned by federal and the state, California, or in our case, what? The Central Arizona Project, the CAP, which was late 60s, 70s. We're like, hey, we're going to finally take our allocation because we hadn't really used our allocation unless you live near the river, right? So they build that to Phoenix and down to Tucson by early 70s, right? Now that's a monopoly, right? Although oligopoly, you have Salt River Project bringing their water and canals down, right? Okay, so there's a couple, maybe three players, two biggies in that, and you just can't go out and say, I'm going to do my own canal and drill my well and put it where I want it, right? Wait, what? Time out. Then it goes to downstream where your friend worked, and nothing against him. He is at the downstream of treatment level. So what does he know? He knows Colorado River water for the most part. He admitted there's a certain percentage of the inventory on groundwater, and it's shockingly small. And you would think, well, it's a desert. Should be small, right? I mean, you know, yeah. So all we got is that river. And that's all that's been pushed in our head through all these water casino lawyers for decade after decade after decade. But if you want to get water, you got your water casino lawyer, right? And you're a lobbyist. You're going to get a chip plant or the next big transhumanist thing next to Mayo Clinic. Oh, suddenly, as you know, coming here in the 80s, hearing every year there's no more water. And yet look at this place. And 40 years later, somehow everybody who wants their water can get their water, except the schmoes sitting there sucking on the one straw. And they're telling you to put rocks in your front yard and fill in your pool.
You know what's so funny? We have gathered articles over the past, I don't know, year. We started talking about water about the last year. And, people in different states, I mean, this is a countrywide problem. I really, as I was in my travels of looking for information, we're a show, we're trying to look out 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. We're not a show that's reactive. We're a show that's proactive. So we've been digging into this. there's 99.9% is what I found is that we're in deep trouble going in the future. The first thing I found that says we're not in such trouble is you. How on earth, and you put me on your email thread with Andy Biggs, Alex Colladin, all these people, and they won't meet you. They won't meet you at ASU. They won't meet you at Thunderbird Graduate School. You know, they won't. I offered to have them come on this show. Here's a
right?
free.
Let's have this debate, right? Let's get it out there. All right. We're all just infuriated by what we're seeing in terms of the advertising. Where's the Republican Party? Where's the messaging? But we all know we're the stupid party. Horrible communications. And what we're seeing in Arizona is absolutely just pathetic, right? Like this social worker is just giving them beatdowns all day long, and there's no fight back hardly. So I get called to go to a Mayor Borowski town hall, South Scottsdale, down that way, and it's a water guy. Well, who's the water guy? Well, he is Professor Rhett Larson of Arizona State University. Who's that guy? Oh, from Arizona, Yuma, farming family, went to BYU, from BYU to John Kyle Water Center, and from John Kyle Water Center to ASU, and he is the international water law expert. Why? Because he lived in Yuma next to Mexico, you know, makes you a big international shot, seriously. So a university that big, that's like their guy. So he gets out there with his dog and pony slideshow, and I'm telling you, he's witty, he's funny. Most of the audience down that way are really kind of Democrat types, and they're all like clapping at increases in rates and like, you know, oh, this is all so funny, you know, and you're like, do you hear what he's saying? Like, you're not supposed to like the guy. Look at his background. But he had these guys, they just rope you in, and they all is funny, and that's it. And there's his numbers, right? And three quarters of the way through, when he's saying, here's our options, which basically said there's no options, I stood up and cried BS, the full word loud. Whoa, who's the crazy guy back there, right? And I called him out, pointing to her and Borowski, and I quoted Biggs, and I said, what do you mean there are no solutions? There are solutions, and here's one. Now, Borowski's looking all like, holy smoke, right? You know, who's this guy, right? And like, deer in the headlights, you know, it's looking at him. I said, are you aware of those statements? The top Arizona State water guy, he should know everything happened every day, right? You're not aware he said that, and you're not going to be able to address that to me right now. So I, you know, I hit him, slap him around, and then I sit back down. He finishes his prezo, and I go up later, and this guy, hey, he nervous, right? I was like, shake his hand. I said, okay, professor. I said, I challenge you to a debate on the subject. He's like, oh, I don't know how I would have time for that. You know, it's like June, July.
Like, time.
He was like, I don't know how I have time. Right? And I said, no, I'll get it better for you. I will have Representative Biggs and Alex Colladin, okay, on one, the abundance side, and you and your sustainability department over here at ASU, you guys can be on, you know, the scarcity model that you just preached. And, oh, I don't know how they could ever have time for this. I mean, they're so busy. Literally, he was saying this. I said, is something wrong with you? It's an election year. They want to debate things. I mean, who comes out with they're too busy to debate? What's wrong with you? And this guy, like, whoa, get away from me. Oh, I got to exit stage left. Colin is like, yeah, why not? This is be spicy debate. Let's get people involved and hearing two sides. And he's ready to say, yes, he's the one who took credit for saying we at the Freedom Caucus, and he's a water lawyer, okay, in his own business and practice, knows water law, wrote that 4-part series on Arizona water law, and says we're the ones who've been hammering him and convincing him of that, i.e. he believes what he just said, that we have 300 years of water under our feet. Let's go use it. Okay, if it's, you know, Deadpool and 0 day on the horizon, let's do it. Everybody kind of wants to think big. Their big think is bring a pipeline from the Mississippi River. Let's go do another desal down on the Sea of Cortez. Let's go do deals with California to try to get a little more of their water from the Colorado River. No big think Arizona big thinking going on, right? He wants to do it. I start hammering the professor. I find another professor, okay, who's over at, you know, the chewing gum Wrigley's, right? They came down to Arizona. They fund this guy over there. And I brought him in before I tell him anything. And I said, hey, this. He writes back this long, flowery little letter, not answering my question. I said, do you believe in these statements? Then I copied him back into everything else. I said, well, I've got another one for you, Rhett, one of your colleagues. You can have him on stage. Apparently, he doesn't know either. Right. I've now got Gosar copied in and I don't know who else, right? Borowski still coming and saying, let's do this. And I hear that, well, the professor agreed to an event, not a debate, whatever. You want an event or debate, let's go do it. Like, we only got less than 90 days now or something. So you see the back and forth on there, trying to get these people to go forward. So what happened 2 weeks ago? Biggs goes back on the Charlie Kirk show. Now he has won the nomination. So they go into their little chit chats. He's there with who? His lieutenant governor. For the first time in Arizona, we have a lieutenant governor. And they chose Sine Kerr from over where you guys are, right? Yep. Good choice. Farming, you know, rural, all that. She was a senator, et cetera, you know. And so they have the two of them for only about 10 minutes. And they hit the water thing. And I'm ready for Biggs to take off where he left off. And he pulls back. And I realize why. Tyler Boyer, do your homework. Oh. He must have told him, shh, we got that handle. His family was Boyer, married the Andersons, big, huge farm down there, Chandler, developed it later into all them houses. And of course, they sit on boards of Salt River Project and things like that. I called him out because I looked it up and his sidekick said, oh, Tyler knows something about water. And this and that. I went, huh? What does he know? And then I got his. Remember, when you guys go on to talk a stock, if you own the stock, right, don't you have to make a disclaimer and say, by the way, I am an owner of this stock and now I am going to promote it, whether you're on CNBC or whatever you do, right? So he should sort of have to make a disclaimer. And then turns out he got hit electioneering with money to get SRP back a year or two ago. Now, maybe he's on our side, he's a good guy, and he can explain all this. But he has a self-interest in this, and he's part of the water mafia oligopoly, clearly. So Biggs has obviously been sort of told shush or something. Okay, so it doesn't make a lot of sense. The statement he made is that dramatic. There are people like Alex Collin, who are very smart, bright lawyers and legislators who know how to fix this system. And they're not talking about it, JR. So that's where we're at here in August with looking at less than 3 months before this election. I don't know what's wrong with these people other than very strong interest in Arizona can get you to be quiet in a hurry if you want to win their vote. And they're mostly never Trumpers and uniparty types. And I think Biggs has been told back off.
And if Biggs... I know he's polling behind. I know right now he's polling behind Hobbs as of this morning. I don't know. I can't figure that out. I mean, you've watched the veto queen. I mean, you make your own decision. We're adults, but I don't know. But let's say the election comes and goes and Biggs is in office. Can you rekindle this or is it so politically buried? Is it so far gone that it's just, you're never going to win? Or can you win, Mark? Can you somehow make a difference and get this?
So people are like, where's all this water then? Number one, again, my disclaimer is I have no reason, business reason to fight this fight. I love the fight helps me, right? The fight of scarcity, because I know where to help everybody find their water. If you can go get your water well permit, I know how to find it. So I'm actually not, I shouldn't, in a business sense, I shouldn't be even talking about this. Go, let them fight over, let the monopolist rule, because everybody can go out and buy their own land in Arizona without a municipal hookup on it, and I'll go help you find where your water is, right? So, that's what I do. I use technologies to come out and survey your property, tell you drill here. And I do it on six continents and a wide range of clients and everything. Right here, the guy wants to develop a new little town out here in West Texas, right? Right. We're showing him what's going on, wide area studies. So there's a lot of water. Where is it? Well, it's generally deep, but not always. Okay. Springs come up from somewhere. But don't forget, guys, audience, you have 9 million acres of state trust land in Arizona, the people's land, and gets sold off to build a new school or do this and that. But at the end of the day, it is highly underutilized land. And there is a group that is angry with the people who've been mismanaging this for a long time. That's 9 million acres. Now, the federal government owns 21 million acres. Okay. Easier to get an oil and gas well permit on that and drill 3 miles deep than to drill a pinprick water well. And yet we have the most favorable federal government in maybe since Arizona was created as a state. Okay, they want to work with it. Let's go. Let's get EPA quick out of the way. Approvals. The mines are working. They're moving forward. Oil and gas is moving forward, not in so much in Arizona because we don't have any. But we do have this water. It's our blue gold, right? And they're all ready to do it. Let's do our own little canal system from where this water may be and bring it in. There are private canal systems out there in Buckeye, for example, that have tons of water they've been pumping since post-World War II. And they haven't gone dry, shockingly, in the desert. Where's it coming from? From below. There's recharge from below, too. Geothermal revolution's underway. They go much deeper. And what happens to steam when it rises and cool? It condensates. That's recharge from below.
Let me do this. We got to take a break real quick. When we come back, we'll spend a few more minutes with you. What should our audience know to help you in this fight? That's the thing I want to really get to. For now, reach out to us, 623-523-0444. If you have a need to connect with Mark, or we'll ask Mark if it's okay to put you two together, if you can help in the fight. We'd love to send you the episode we did with Mark in June on the 26th, if you're a podcast person. So we'll be right back, but we're at 623-523-0444, or you can always email us, team@anothermoneyshow.com. Thanks as always for being with us. We'll be right back.
And remember, if you like what you're hearing, try doing it. It's even better. Visit anothermoneyshow.com.
I think we can all agree, losing money sucks. No one likes to lose money, but outside of the one-month downturn in 2020, the biggest black swan event in modern times, has anyone really felt the pain of a stock market loss? Has everyone forgotten how devastating 2008 was? What about the dot-com bubble? Are we all so naive as to think that this could never happen again? Hi, I'm J.R. Rochford, host of Another Money Show. With almost three decades of experience, what if I told you I don't care if the bubble bursts again? Because there's a way to make sure that market downturns don't throw off your retirement. Assets come and go. Income is forever. Protect your retirement by self-funding a pension, and you know you'll never outlive it. You may not have been lucky enough to have a job that offered a pension, but that doesn't mean you can't start your own. We can help. Reach out to us at 623-523-0444. That number again, 623-523-0444. Or find us on the web at anothermoneyshow.com. And let us help you not worry about your retirement.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation with JR and Anthony, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Or call 623-523-0444.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thank you so much for being with us. We're little fish in a big pond. The pond has no water in it currently, but we value your assistance and your help. And we love meeting you, by the way. So keep calling us and sitting down with us. We will solve all of the world's problems. We're with Mark Burr today. We're going to give him a couple more minutes. This is probably the most passionate person I have ever met in my life. And his topic is the very most important topic I've ever heard in my life. Mark, tell us what we need to know.
So where we left it off, you know, we revisited what we spoke last time. Now Biggs is the candidate. He has made these dramatic, shocking statements. He is backed by Collodin, who, by the way, of course, won the nomination for Secretary of State, right? So they're two of the key candidates out there who are on this abundance paradigm. So, you know, you could throw me out with baby in the bathwater and just say he's some kook calling in. And what does he know? And he's got a self-interest and whatever with his water thing he's doing. Call your representatives. Call Biggs's office. Call Collodin. Collodin is very accessible. Call and say, is this true? Like, really? We have all this water, like blue gold under our feet. Like, how do we use it then? What's your plan? Are we going to drill those wells and put it into our canal? our own water and our own canal. And I told you, the biggest change in our whole Colorado River compact system, especially the cap, last September, they authorized water to be put in our own canal. After many years of delay, and Biden sat on it for 4 years at the Bureau of Reclamation. Go to Biggs, go to Colleton, very accessible Colleton, and say, is this true? Can we have water on the canal? Do we have this water? So what's our plan? How about big think for Arizona? Let's drill these wells, get more drillers, get more guys working in that industry. Let's make our own canals. We have canal systems that are private, right? They're just sitting around banking, waiting for guys to show up and buy their wells for $10 million pop. Okay, so let's get our own water, develop it on state lands too, so that when we sell the state lands as Arizona, we get more money based on the value underneath it. How much do we really know about the water resources under 9 million acres of state trust land? Please, right? And talk to the federal government, 21 million acres. We don't want to drill oil wells and gas wells here because we don't have it. Get out of the way and allow us to put water wells on there that we can use for various things to ease the water flow down the river, to put it into canals, whatever. Federal government will be go, hallelujah, you guys finally waking up. Yeah, we're ready to work. What do you got on your mind? Go ahead and challenge me. Is there 300 years of water under our feet? Determine that first on your own through the Department of Water Resources, or go to Biggs' campaign, or directly to Alex Colladen, and he will tell you exactly how. And he will tell you legally what are the changes in the law, in his opinion, will need to come, that really held us back starting in the 1950s. Okay?
And I have a question. Is now the time to do that, or wait till after the elections, because now they have an excuse to say they're too busy to deal with it?
Like I say, they should be, they're putting their feet to the fire now, but they're getting beat at the game and there's going to be no debates. I feel they should hold their own debates with an empty podium and do it. So they're missing a lot of opportunities. And it's hard for all of us to figure out what's going on and why, but there's a big, you know, never Trumper uniparty on the Republican side that they got to, you know, be nicey-nice to. Sorry to be negative on that one, but it's from what you see, it's pathetic. He has to be their October surprise to pull something out for this sorry lot of Republican Party in this state. So wait till it's over, but then if they don't win, you're not going to get anything. So.
Well, and we'll have to have that conversation on the side, because, I mean, you know, the little you know of me, I'm sure you know politics is one of my passions. And yes, I'm watching the economy. I'm watching, and nobody seems to be concerned with the debt, with water, all the important things. I'm watching the DSA and the rise thereof. I'm watching a lot. So we'll have to talk about that on the side. We have to wrap it up with you. So a couple things. One, if people want to get a hold of you, is it okay to give out your number? Is that too?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want.
Absolutely.
Okay. If people can join you in the fight, no matter how that is. I mean, I will put it out to you. If you want a safe space that you know, has some listenership, get Alex to come on our show. Get Andy to come on our show. They're friendlies. You already know them. You ask them to come on and talk about it with you on our show. It gives them free airtime. We don't have to talk about politics. Actually, we shouldn't, but it gets them a platform where they're heard, that they care about water. So get them on with us.
I'll give you Andy Biggs's campaign manager's private cell phone number. This is how stupid it is. Do you know where the area code is from?
Where? Not Arizona.
Give me like 602 or 520. It's out of Boston.
Oh, nice.
Okay, cheers. These millennials, I get it. He probably went to school there. He doesn't want his girlfriends to forget him, you know. And so he's got his little phone. If you're going to do this, bro, go get an Arizona phone and keep your little phone for your girlfriends. You're raising money in Arizona with a Boston cell phone number, you nutcase. But his name's Patrick something or other. He seems like a nice guy. He's a MAGA kid from 2016. But what are you doing? Okay, you are committing campaign like malpractice. It's so bad. Okay.
All right.
So,
Mark,
anyway, go after.
Next
him.
Time we get you on, we're going to try to get you out of your shell. We're going to try to get you from passion toward things. I thank you so much for being with us. I mean, we're going to keep in touch with you via email.
Knock that debt down. Debt free money is coming. We could talk.
I don't care about the debt. I just want to make sure there's water. I just don't want to solve it. Bye. All right. Thanks for being with us, Mark.
Bye, guys.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
I'm going to get a drink of water while there's still some available and take a quick nap, because that was exhausting. Mark is amazing. I'm going to send the show to him, so I'm not talking behind his back, even though he just left. But oh my gosh, talk about passion. What do you think, Anthony? You tired? You're good?
Oh, yeah. No, I slept through the whole thing. It's fine.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Let's have a moment of peace. We still have a little time left for the show. I'm going to switch gears quickly, and I'm going to get to our Desert Storm trading cards, because last week, if you were with us, you may or may not know, we have George Herbert Walker Bush knocked out. So we got that young man. We're looking for one more card before this whole thing's over. We're looking for Saddam Hussein. We have four more packs we have today, and then three more packs. So keep your fingers crossed. Let's see what we got today. We have a C-141B Star Lifter. It's cool. It's a plane. That's nice. We have a USS Ranger. It's a ship. That's pretty cool. Military asset. We have personnel. We have radar operators. That seems important. Wait, we got a person. I don't recognize him. We have James Baker. He looks a little bit like Bob Zaney. If you're a loyal listener, we had a comedian named Bob Zaney on. This looks a lot like him. They might be related. I'm not sure. Geography. We have Bulgaria. We have Bulgaria. Some of these countries are just not ones I picture when I think of the Gulf War, but it is what it is. Military asset. We have an A6 intruder. Looks like there's intruders. Oh, I have some of these from the intelligent files. We have a yellow ribbon. We were given these back then. Sam, I'm sure your mom has one too. Hey, look what we got. This one's good. It is not the level of last week, but this is pretty good. We have a leader, General Norman Schwarzkopf. That's very important. That's an important one. We have geography, the Persian Gulf. That is very important. That's a little more important than France or Norway, I think. So the last card of the day, I'm so sorry to tell you, I'm not as excited as I was. We have, and it's a good one, don't get me wrong, we have George Bush again. So we have not found Saddam, but we have Norman, we have Storm and Norman, and we have two George Herbert Walker Bushes. So, all right, Sam. I don't know. We've got three more chances to find Saddam, and then we're going to have one of you join the military and get new cards. Or I'm not opposed to going to eBay and just buying one in the next couple of weeks and sneak it in there, because I don't want to let you down. I don't want to disappoint Sam. I do want to show you one more thing before we move on. I have a friend named Michael C. of Sun City, and this was his father's, and he gave it to me. It's an Operation Desert Shield with UN forces, pocket knife. And it says on it, no slack for Iraq. So that's interesting, because it doesn't say Desert Storm. It says Desert Shield. So these were produced at the very beginning of that conflict, that skirmish, that war. So that's very interesting. Thank you, Michael. He actually gave that to me like a year, cool. A year and a half ago. Yeah, super cool. That was the thing I did not have. So, boy, I'm not even sure. That was, as Roger, our loyal listener and friend Roger up in Wickenburg would say, that's like drinking water from a fire hose. So let's get to the biggest story and see where we can get to today. Yesterday, on the 19th of August, we tipped over the $40 trillion debt mark. I reached out to a few people. I put a post on Facebook. I try to make sure people know I'm watching it. One of your friend's father, Anthony, your friend who's been on the show, his father was like, yawn, ho-hum, who cares? Very much, I think, like you. Like, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Wow, we're already $52 billion since yesterday. We're at $40 trillion, $52 billion. Since yesterday. I heard Joe's show this morning, part of it, and he said, I think it was Jason said, we're adding something like $1 million every 20 seconds. So we're in trouble. I'm sorry. Sam looked up something. Let me find it here. Sam looked up the debt. I'm curious. Anthony, you've been in the office 8 years. You got in July of 2018. Sam looked up the debt. In July of 2018, it was $21.3 trillion. So even though you are stuck in normalcy bias Anthony, the debt has doubled in the 8 years that you've been in this practice. Sam found this on treasurydirect.gov. We like to cite sources. I mean, I don't, but Sam does. I want to get caught up in some slanderous trap and have to say, I wish I said allegedly. So, Anthony, does that concern you or is it just, it doesn't affect you? Nothing has changed.
Well, saying the number doesn't mean anything unless you give it relevance to something else. It could be 100 trillion. Where is the tipping point? What is it in relation to? Yeah, 40 trillion seems like a hell of a lot, but it hasn't done anything, has it? 30 trillion seemed like a hell of a lot. 20 trillion did. What did it do? It did nothing. So
let me counter. You always expected of me to make sure I counterpoint your points. And by the way, Sam also looked up 1998. In July of 1998, when I was a young financial advisor, the debt, wait till you hear this. This is when I was new, $5.5 trillion. If you want to tie it to politics, because you're listening to 960 The Patriot, which this is not a political show, but go back in history and look at the debt over the years and pay special attention to the first term of the Obama years. If you want to see what's happened with the debt for 200 years, and then look at the beginning and the end of the first term under Obama and see if you are getting some correlation politically with debt. But, and I regress, that's just when the floodgates open. I'm not saying one party is the only one spending debt. Believe me. I mean, this is shocking to me right now. Anthony, let me give you some relevance to what you just said, because you're right. It's just a number. And nobody can picture a 40 with 12 zeros behind it. It's just impossible to wrap your mind around. But let's take me and you. We've been on this show for 4.5 years. In 4.5 years, we started out. We've talked about egg shortages. We've talked about open borders. We've talked about a lot. Lately, we're talking about the dramatic escalation in really the demise of normal life to come. We've talked about robotics and AI and data centers and flock cameras. We're talking about literally our livelihoods can be gone. I just heard this morning the first occupation in college professorship that's going to be replaced by AI across the board is going to be mathematics. There are not a lot of interpretation. There's equations. Kevin, if you're listening, you don't need the jargon generator for simple mathematics, but we apparently don't need professors. Anyway, Anthony, when you look at the debt load since we've been on here, you're right. It doesn't matter. We can't fathom this kind of number. But look at what we've talked about in 4.5 years. The BRICS nations, they've been around a lot longer than 4.5 years. I understand that. I've been tracking them. I don't know. I started probably looking at them in 2009. Whatever it was when they were fairly new, the unit, the Enbridge, when you look at FedNow, the Genius Act, when you look at Executive Order 14067, I think it was, when you look at what we've talked about, it's an everything bubble. When the debt is going to tip, it's we're literally going to go into central bank digital currency. The government has got to
get just kind of picking stuff out of the sky and saying it's all related and without. But let me give you some actual numbers that mean something. Let's look at GDP in 1998, which was about $9 trillion. So we're using rough numbers here. Debt was 5-ish. So we're saying about 50% of our GDP was debt. Then you look at 2018. GDP was about $20 trillion. So now we're at 100%. So from 98 to in those, 20 years? To 2018, now we're at 100%. Well, now our GDP is about 30 trillion and our debt's 40 trillion. So now we're a third higher. So we're 130%. So that is something that shows significant growth. And that
it doesn't, though. You're making my point. People don't care about that. They don't care about that number. They don't understand GDP. They don't understand that the debt is literally, Sam's got the U.S. debt clock pulled up. And if I were you, I'd go on the usdebtclock.org regularly. The current federal debt to GDP ratio is 122.71%. Who cares? It's like 40 trillion versus 50 or 100. Just doesn't matter until it does. And I'm not just pulling stuff out of the air. I'm telling you the rest of the world's tired of us. I'm telling you there's an end game to world reserve currencies. There's an end game to nations. We have grown too fast. There's an end game to everything. And you're seeing it. You can't deny that you're seeing the end of a world superpower. You sent me something. By the way, I got this. Who sent me this? Leon, our loyal listener. I can't even talk. Leon sent this to me. This gives you some perspective. 1 million seconds equals about 11.5 days. Okay. 1 million seconds is 11 and a half days. 1 trillion seconds amounts to roughly 32,000 years. 1 million. That's a big number. When I was new in this job, everybody wanted to be a millionaire. Now they got to be a billionaire. It's 11 days, but 1 trillion seconds from 1 million goes to 32,000 years. That's insane. You sent me something from Reddit yesterday, and I went into the government's own, let me get to this. Treasury announces increased sizes of nominal long end liquidity support buybacks beginning September 9th. The quantitative easing, they're not going to call it that because people already know what that means. You're $40 trillion in debt and you're going to buy your own long-term bonds because Japan and because whatever, the carry trade and everything going on, it's game over. We are seeing the demise of a financial structure right before your eyes, Anthony. If it never matters and I'm wrong, good, because I'm not worried about me nearly as much as I am about you and Jay and Sam and Nick. So if I'm wrong, good. I don't think I'm wrong. I think we're going so fast towards the end. You have picked up on the fact that when we had a decade or more of no interest rates, you know, people were picking up mortgages for 2.75 on 15 year to 3 and 4 range for 30 years. It was really a good time. It was a great time. Janet Yellen did the wrong thing at the time. These people have done the wrong thing over and over. And now Bessent's going to have to do the wrong thing because he has no choice. It hurt the future. And now we're going to pay for it. You want to get, you know, when Mark tried to go towards politics a little bit, and I got to be careful with that. You know, lately I've been bringing up the DSA. I have so much I need to get out, and I know I'm chaotic right now. One of our loyal listeners, and I'm just going to tie this in because this is what you can expect, Anthony. This is probably in the next few years. You're going to see things tip. Jason, our listener, sent this to me. Only in America can $40 trillion in debt and have so little to show for it. No bullet trains, no modern infrastructure, no universal health care, college or trade school, no universal basic income, no universal child care. That statement that was put out is put out by the U.S. Democratic Socialists. You know what? I've been watching these interviews lately of young people on beaches and college campuses, and they're not going to make it. They can't buy a house. They can't afford their rent, their groceries, their gas. They're frustrated. They know there's no answer. And no, it's not just to raise the minimum wage to $100 an hour, because that's still not going to be enough. So this is the direction they're going to go to. You remember how a couple weeks ago, I asked you and Sam if you knew who Abdul El Sayed was, and you both said no. And then I think I asked you last week if you know who Hassan Piker is, and I think you said yes, and Sam wasn't sure. I'm going to give you another name this week. Research, she's out of Florida. Her name is Angie Nixon. You have to see what's going to replace our current systems. I mean, the word socialism used to have a real negative connotation. The future, Anthony is and Sam, is your age and younger. You're the upcoming voting block. You're the upcoming gotta fix it people. Maybe the baby boomers did suck everything dry. Maybe they did take everything out from under your feet. I don't know. I didn't. I worked my butt off to try to do what I'm trying to do. And I've never, ever tried to cheat anybody else doing it. But you gotta fix it. We have no water. We have no, the debt is insurmountable. I'm not sure what to do. I don't know what to do. The Fed is once again going to double down on its wrong policies. The banks, we talk about the banks all the time. They have no money. Your guarantee on your FDIC insurance is 1.43%. The stock market is at valuations. We're at historic highs. It's all off. And I'm tired. And I'm tired because I'm thinking of you guys. I'm in my 60s. I mean, I could at this point grab Social Security and just get out. Go up to Snowflake and lay low, but I worry about you guys. And I just, and you are so lackadaisical with your, you want to justify, you want to feel safe. And I get that. There's no way you can like to hear what I say every week. You've got to think I'm crazy. I understand that. But what if I'm not? I mean, what if I'm right that all of this stuff, I mean, North Korea shot a missile today while Trump is saying he's going to meet with him. is everywhere you look.
Russia can't take Ukraine and it shares a border and it's a fraction of the size. Why should I be afraid of North Korea?
Because it's an everything bubble. If Taiwan and China heat up, the drone attack, the Ukraine-Russia thing is in the news today. I don't know if you heard, massive drone strikes. Sam, it poses a very interesting question. I bring proms every week. What are people, Sam just asked, what are people supposed to do? One of the things that we think you should do, we think there could be a power grid failure. We told you to buy a solar generator so you can at least run a fan. Can you run your air conditioning in your house? Of course not. Even Generac sooner or later is going to have a problem. We get that. What can you do? One person, one couple, one family at a time. Do what you can for your situation and do what Mark Burr said with the water. Reach out to your congresspeople, your senators, your president. How many people get active with trying to say, what is a network? I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. People are doing nothing. Like, it's never going to change. We want to go to college to be a social influencer. We don't see that it'll be lucky in the next few years if we have electricity and food. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to sit with me and Anthony, and let's protect and grow your money, at least for the upcoming stock. We're going to have another 2008. I'm sorry. I don't have to say allegedly, because things cycle in life. So you need to bring it down and do what Sam just said. Ask questions. What am I supposed to do about it? Just get scared and do nothing? Or should I take bite-sized steps? What's the old thing? How do you eat an elephant? Well, first of all, you don't, but one bite at a time. Whew. Mark got me fired up and now my passion is raging. And that sucks because there's only 2 minutes left of the show. And I've got a whole list of stuff to get to and I'm not going to. But at least I'm still fired up about things. Anthony, we'll continue this. Oh, next week. Make sure you're with us next week. We'll try to keep to the very minimal headlines and the Desert Store training cards. But we have Rick Kreiberg coming on next week. So if you're a veteran, if you know a veteran, if you just want an interesting time next week, join us. Make sure you're back with us. All right, Anthony, I'm done.
Yes, I'm looking forward to having him. Anyways, that's it for today's show. If you like what you heard, you have any questions, you reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. That's our email. Check us out online, anothermoneyshow.com. Check us out on YouTube, Another Money Show. Reach out to us, 623-523-0444. That number again is 623-523-0444. We actually had someone call from Florida this week who said that they wanted to be prepared, not scared. So I really appreciate that. Anyways, that's all for this show. We'll see you next Saturday at noon and 5 a.m. right here on 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. At Rochford & Associates, we know the road to financial freedom is not a straight path, and the journey is different for every family. And in times like these, we want you to feel confident that you're safely on track to meet your retirement goals.
We want to ask you to prepare for economic chaos. We want you to prepare for bank volatility. We want you to insure and protect your assets with a smart plan.
Our team can help you make the most of your hard-earned savings using strategies that are right for you.
I want more people to sit down with us. When we talk about a financial plan, it's different for every person we meet. We tailor make our plans.
Schedule your no obligation consultation today by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Rochford and Associates, veteran owned and proud to serve Americans like you.
By the time the decorations come down and the credit card statement goes up, many Americans are left with the same quiet question. Did I spend too much this holiday season? I'm Jim Tarabokia for the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. For some, it was gifts for children or grandchildren. For others, travel, hosting, or simply wanting one bright moment at the end of a long year. And now in January, the emotional glow has faded, replaced by credit card debt numbers that feel harder to ignore. Financial experts say this post-holiday moment is very common, but the good news is it's also manageable. ABC News' Elizabeth Schulze says that one of the best places to start the cut down is by analyzing non-essential items.
This is the time of year where we do tend to see credit card balances spike in December after all of that holiday spending. So really, it is the time to try to make a plan to take stock of your debt and pay it off.
According to a recent article from CNBC, there are further steps you can take to manage and pay off your credit card debt. First is establishing a clear direction. According to Schulze, this common strategy is called the snowball method.
So what this does is you're paying off your smallest debts first and making minimum payments on all of your other balances. So what this allows you to do is have a bunch of kind of small wins. You move off your first smallest debt, pay it off, go to the next one. Kind of keeps that motivation up.
Next comes simplification. Options like balance transfers or consolidation loans may help lower interest costs and make payments easier to manage, especially for those juggling work, family, or fixed retirement incomes. And finally, there's reallocation, finding small ways to free up cash through modest spending adjustments or directing a bonus towards debt without upending your life. Small changes can significantly shorten the payoff timeline. The main connection through all of these is achieving the goal of stability. So while the holidays are about generosity, January is about intention. And taking control of holiday debt isn't about what you spent, it's about what you choose to do next. For the Retirement Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Jim Tarabocchia.